إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His forgiveness and we ask for His assistance, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers, praise be to Allah for allowing us to complete the whole chapter of Surah Al-Kahf in our previous sittings, which took a while actually, but alhamdulillah we finished it. And as I promised, after we conclude Al-Kahf, we will go back to the beginning of the Quran, beginning with Al-Fatiha. Again, as a reminder, we're doing the tafsir, name, title, Taysir al-Kareem al-Rahman fi tafsir Kalam al-Mannan, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. This is a famous tafsir book. And the specialty about this book is that it is recent. Because when you go to Tafsir ibn Kathir, or Tabari, or Al-Qurtubi, or Al-Akhiri from the various tafsir, you will find that they're old. You know, brothers from the, you know, few hundred years back. This particular tafsir is considerably recent. It's in the 14th, I believe it's the end of the 13th century or the beginning of the 14th century, regardless. Let me see here, I would probably have it. Yes, it's actually a recent book. And the Shaykh, may Allah have mercy on him, Allah had given him this ability to understand the Quran and then explain it accordingly. He has a manhaj in his tafsir where he doesn't really go into the details of issues. He doesn't really, it's different than Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, which would mention all the narrations and everything that is involved in the verse. This one is just basically trying to send a message across, explain that which may not be understandable, and show how there's a harmony between the verses, the relation between the verses, as we have seen from the Shaykh, also deducing benefits, deducing the benefits and the wisdoms behind the stories and things along these lines. So today, inshallah, we'll begin with Surah Al-Fatiha, which is 7 verses, and it goes, I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Someone kindly read in English سورة الفاتحة. Anyone? Any volunteers? Fatiha is in the beginning of the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. All praise and thanks of Allah, the Lord of the Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. The most gracious, the most merciful. The only owner and the only ruling judge of the day of recompense, in the day of resurrection. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help for each and everything. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those of whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who burden your anger, nor of those the most gracious. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful.
No, what happened there? Nor the ones that your anger or wrath is upon, and those who are misguided.
Yeah. No, who went astray.
Went astray, that's it. Ameen. Ay. Jabarakallah feek. But يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي أبتدئ بكل اسم الله تعالى لأن لفظ اسم مفرد مضاف فيعم جميع الأسماء الحسنى. Meaning now he's doing تفسير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Meaning I begin in the name of Allah عز وجل. I begin in every name of Allah. Notice the difference. I begin, عليكم السلام. I begin in every name of Allah. Because he says linguistically, the word ism, mufrad mudaf, it's singular and it is in a state of being attributed to another word. This is very technical grammar. Sometimes there's no English for it. Nonetheless, it says it encompasses all of the beautiful names of Allah. So I begin in every name of Allah. Bismillah, bi ism. Yani it's ba harf jar ism, which is an ism majroor. You've learned this with Dr. Yahya. And this is more technical, rather than saying in the name of Allah, right? What is intended is I begin in every name of Allah. Yani ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, al-Malik, al-Quddus, al-Salam, al-Mu'min, al-Muhaymin, every name of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah, يعني لفظ الجلالة هو المألوه المعبود المستحق لإفراده بالعبادة لما اتصف به من صفات الألوهية وهي صفات الكمال. The لفظ الجلالة Allah, he says it is the one who is مألوه, meaning the one who is considered as the true God, the one who people take as a God. المعبود, the one who is worshipped. المستحق لإفراده بالعبادة, the one who deserves to be singled out in worship, the one who deserves to be singled out in worship because of the attributes that he possesses, because of the godly attributes that he possesses. وهي صفات الكمال, and it is the attributes of perfection, the attributes of perfection. And this is a very basic understanding here, that whenever you want to, if a people want to claim that a particular thing is a God, a particular thing is a God, then that thing must have the qualities of perfection and have no deficiency, because only one who is like that deserves worship. Otherwise you are worshipping someone who is equal to you or deficient, yani undivine, thus does not deserve worship. And that these particular qualities can be found in nothing and no one except Allah. No one else. Regardless of who it is, whether it's an angel, it may be strong, it may be powerful, it may be whatever, but who created it? Allah. So what is deficiency? It's created. The deficiency of the angel is that it could not create its own self. It had to be brought into existence. Same thing can be said about the prophets and the messengers. They may have beautiful qualities and nice character and intelligence and wisdom and blah blah blah, but at the end of the day, what is their deficiency? They're human beings. They go to the bathroom, they get sick, they get ill, they die. You cannot possibly worship someone with these particular qualities because they're not perfect. And if this is the case with the things that are worshipped the most in this day and time, which is either human being or angels, then what would we say about the sun and the moon and the tree and the rock and the devil and the various things that people worship more so? So why is it only for Allah? Because no one truly possesses the perfect qualities and the most complete except Allah. He is the beginning, there was nothing before him for him to be in need of someone to create him. He is the creator. Everything else dies, but Allah Azza wa Jal remains alive. Allah Azza wa Jal remains, he's the everlasting, the eternal. When you speak about mercy, when you speak about every quality, Allah Azza wa Jal has the most perfect reality of that particular quality. So Allah Azza wa Jal is free from deficiency. This is what Subhanallah means. Ya Akhwan, you need to know this. When you finish the salah, after you finish the prayer, many of us think that it's some exercise from your muscles of the fingers. When they do that car, you see, no good, amigo. No good. You are remembering Allah. When you say Subhanallah, meaning you are glorifying Allah above any imperfection. Meaning glory be to you, Allah, from any deficiency. It's a big deal. So you have to really think about it. Subhanallah. 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 Huh? Like that. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Really, Alhamdulillah. Made you a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, you were in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, you believe. Alhamdulillah, you have money. Alhamdulillah, whatever. Alhamdulillah, even for the problems. If it's going to take you to Jannah in the year after. Likewise, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Nothing is greater than Allah. These adhkar, you cannot imagine the Prophet ﷺ just saying them like he's just trying to get some job done. Can you imagine him ﷺ sitting there saying, count on his fingers, all he hears is just whispering? No way. But nowadays, this is what it is. Now people will be just looking around. Don't, if you see people doing this, this is incorrect. Right? Don't follow these ways. Even if it's the imam who turns around and he continues to look at every particular individual, saying that you shouldn't. But the idea is, unless he is thinking about Allah Azza wa Jalla while he's looking at the people and they're not coming together, no problem. But the essence is, when you say adhkar, this is an act of worship. And you need to be mindful of what you're saying. Otherwise, you'll be people think you're crazy. If you just started speaking Chinese, and you walk around hallucinating with Chinese, and if somebody said, what do you say? I don't know what I'm saying. People will say, you're crazy, man. Either say something that you understand and that makes sense, or don't say nothing. And so when we say the adhkar after the salah, we're saying something. It has a lot of meanings actually. A lot of reward associated with it. But for those who do it properly. Not for anyone who just throws his words out thinking that he's going to get by. So I'm just reminding myself and you first and foremost that be mindful of these things. So Subhanallah is that. Meaning Allah is the only one who is free from imperfection. Thus He is the only one who deserves worship. This is why we only worship Him alone as Muslims. And no matter how we honor, how much we honor other creation, never ever to the level of Allah. Which is where all the Christians and the Jews and the other creation fell into that particular wall. They kept honoring someone until they put them with God and above God. And then God was not important anymore. What was important is that other thing that they have taken as a God. Right. الرحمن الرحيم اسمان دالان على أنه تعالى ذو الرحمة الواسعة العظيمة التي وسعت كل شيء التي وسعت كل شيء وعمت كل حي وكتبها للمتقين المتبعين لأنبيائه ورسله فهؤلاء لهم الرحمة المطلقة ومن عداهم فلهم نصيب منها الرحمن الرحيم the most gracious, the most merciful. Again, this is just the way they translate it into English. As far as we are concerned, in essence, he said these are two words, two nouns that indicate that Allah Azza wa Jal is the possessor of the vast mercy, abundance of mercy that has encompassed everything. And it had encompassed everything and every living, everything that is not living and every living thing. But Allah had written it, yani had prescribed it, had decreed that it would only be attained in its full sense by the muttaqeen, the pious, al-muttabi'een lil-anbiya'i rusuli, those who follow His Prophet and His messengers. Those who follow His prophets and His messengers. فهؤلاء لهم الرحمة المطلقة. For those, they will have the absolute mercy. And those besides them, they will only have a portion of it. And actually, there's another explanation for this particular one that the scholars have mentioned. That is, Ar-Rahman encompasses everyone, the believer and the disbeliever. Ar-Rahim is specific for the believers. Ar-Rahman is for everyone. Allah the kafir, the disbeliever. Had it not been for the mercy of Allah, he would not eat, he would not drink, may he would not even get a dime, not even a halala of sustenance. He would not even get a breath to breathe. Why? Because he is opposing Allah. He is disbelieving in Allah. He is insulting Allah. He is going against the objective of his creation. He is utilizing the bounties of Allah to disobey Allah with them. If you really want to treat the kafir accordingly, then he will get absolutely nothing from Allah but immediate punishment. But Allah Azza wa Jal does not do that. Rather, Allah gives him the door and the opportunity and the chance to repent. Gives him the light and do this. Perhaps one day they will turn around and say, hold on man, I better return to my Lord. I better repent to my Lord. So Allah is merciful. Had it not been for the mercy of Allah, the disbeliever will not even get a sip of water to drink. And this comes in another narration from the Prophet ﷺ. Rahim is only for the believers. Because of the verse, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And Allah was to the believers merciful. The rahmah or the mercy to the believers is of kinds. There's a rahmah of making you, guiding you to Islam. Then there's a rahmah of guiding you in Islam. Then there's a rahmah that it guides you on the day of judgment. Then there's a rahmah that will guide you to Jannah. Whereas that of the disbeliever is only associated with worldly affairs. He will get the mercy in terms of remaining alive and populating and doing all the necessary stuff. But the rahmah of the day of judgment, of guidance, of Jannah, none. This is only for the believers. So Ar-Rahman is for all of the creation. Ar-Rahim is particular for the believers. This is how some of the other Mufassireen had explained this particular verse. Now the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, wa'alam, أن من القواعد المتفق عليها بين سلف الأمة وأئمتها الإيمان بأسماء الله وصفاته وأحكام الصفات فيؤمنون مثلا بأنه رحيم رحمن رحيم ذو الرحمة التي اتصف بها المتعلقة بالمرحوم. He says, no, have knowledge of the following, that among the foundations that are agreed upon by the righteous predecessors of this ummah and the scholars, to believe in Allah's names and attributes and the rulings or the rulings of these particular attributes. Why? We will see why. For example, they believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is Rahman, Rahim. Yani, He actually is merciful. He is the possessor of mercy. That has to do with that which the mercy is, the marhum, that who is receiving the mercy. Now you may say, what is he talking about? I know you're saying, what is he talking about? You may not know, but let me tell you, among the Muslims are many different groups who have a belief system that is different than that of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They have the Mu'tazila and Al Jahmiyyah and others. You may have never heard these names. These are things that are not usually a sect in which a person will expose and tell you that I belong to, you know, such and such. But this is, has to do with the inner belief system. These groups of Muslims, they deny some of the names and attributes of Allah. They say that we can say that Allah is, as a name, merciful, but you cannot say that Allah has mercy. Crazy, right? Crazy. You see, you could say Allah has a name merciful, but you cannot say that Allah has the attribute of mercy. Because if you say that Allah has an attribute of mercy, this is an attribute of weakness. Because you're only merciful when you're weak. And Allah cannot be weak, so they disbelieve in Him. They reject it. The problem with these people, and they have many other problems. They deny Allah being above His throne. They deny Allah being in the state of transcendency. Allah being above His creation. They deny many things. Many of the names and the attributes of Allah. Because they think that they are trying to glorify Allah. The problem with them is that they are using the philosophy of Aristo and these other people, and they included it into the religion, where they started putting their intellect above the textual evidence. Once you want to put your intellect ahead of the textual evidence, wallahi, you will go astray. They tried to free Allah from an attribute, they fell into something much worse. If Allah called Himself Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, in the Arabic language, the Arabs understand what Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim means. This is not only a name, rather this is a quality of a person. A quality that a person may possess. Now we're speaking about Allah, of course. طيب, if this is the case and Allah says that we have this Quran guides to that which is best, and we have made it in the Arabic Quran, perhaps you will understand. Then it is impossible that Allah will give something in the Quran that is not according to the truth, or that cannot be understood by the people. This is another issue. We have classes every Thursday in Hayy al-Mushrifa. I don't know what you do Thursday evening between Maghrib and Isha. But there's a class in Hayy al-Mushrifa in the book Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, dealing with this particular subject. The names and attributes of Allah, how to understand them versus those who have deviated from the path and wind up denying Allah's attributes. The Shaykh here is touching upon these. He says, we understand, ya akhi, that among the things that the Salaf, the righteous predecessors have agreed to, and the scholars of the old days, is that we believe in the names and attributes of Allah and everything that they entail. Meaning Allah is the most merciful, He is full of mercy, and it is a quality that He actually has. And it's a name. But the quality is there, not only the name. But فَالنِّعَمْ كُلَّهَا أَثَرٌ مِّنْ آثَارِ رَحْمَتِهِ. Every bounty is an indication or is a side effect of that of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهَكَذَا فِي سَائِرِ الْأَسْمَاءِ. And the same can be said about every name of Allah. يُقَالُ فِي الْعَلِيمَ أَنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ ذُو عِلْمٍ. When we say Allah is the all-knowing, meaning Allah is the all-knowing who has the complete knowledge, who is the possessor of knowledge, and He knows everything. يَعْلَمُ بِهِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ ذُو قُدْرَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is able to do all things. He is full and He is the possessor of capability and the ability, and He does whatever He wills. So this is, by the way, the reason, alhamdulillah, you acted a certain way when I mentioned to you, because you are now on the normal state, you know? You are on the fitrah, the natural disposition. Of course you're going to believe in Allah that He's full of mercy. Nothing will tell you that you only accept the name and reject the attribute. Until I told you that some people do that. That's an indication that Allah created us with the basic understanding of things. Unless you try to philosophize, you will be okay. Had you stuck to the Quran and the Sunnah, you wouldn't think about none of this stuff. But when people went outside is when they became in trouble. That's why we stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. طيب. Alhamdulillah. هو الثناء على الله بصفات الكمال وبأفعاله الدائرة بين الفضل والعدل فله الحمد الكامل بجميع الوجوه. All praise is due to Allah. He says this is the praising of Allah through His perfect and complete attributes and His actions that are either a virtue or justice. يعني, if Allah punishes a person, then it's out of justice, no oppression. And if Allah gives a person from His bounty, then it is generosity from Allah. No one is oppressed. He has the most complete praise from every aspect. The most complete praise in every possible way, for every possible reason. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. الرب هو المربي جميع العالمين وهم من سوى الله. الرب comes from the word مربي. مربي in Arabic is the one who raises you or brings you up. Like a father who raises his children, okay? He makes sure their upbringing is correct. He is called in Arabic مربي. يعني a caretaker. طيب. From that particular word, the word رب comes. Now we translate it as Lord because it is the quality of the Lord to take care of His creation. There's no father-son relationship now. Don't misunderstand. The example given for the word رب was an example of a father. It could be a boss of a company. He is also the caretaker of his employees, right? So he's called in Arabic Murabbi. So anyone who takes care of someone or something is called Murabbi. Allah Azza wa Jal is the Rabb, meaning He is the caretaker of His creation, Him being the creator and them being the creation. Al-alamin comes from the word, it's a muthanna, it's a dual for alam. Alam is world. Alamin is the two worlds, all the worlds. And the scholar said what is intended by that is everything besides Allah. That includes everything Allah created, the jinn and the ins and the earth and the heavens and the universe and the oceans and the sea, you name it. Everything besides Allah is al-alamin. So praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, meaning the Lord of everything. Right? Is that clear? Okay. Right. Because He created them. وَإِعْدَادِهِ لَهُمُ الْآلَاتِ And He gave them machinery, gave them the tools to survive. وَإِنْعَامِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالنِّعْمِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي لَوْ فَقَدُوهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمُ الْبَقَاءِ فَمَا بِهِمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْهُ تَعَالَى And that He bestowed upon His creation, all of us, يعني, jinn and ins and otherwise, His great bounties. That if we were to lose them, then we will not be able to remain. We will not be able to remain. So verily, there isn't a single bounty that we have, except that it is from Allah. And take a very basic example now, something that is tangible. Everything you see around you, this office, or this room, this class, the chairs, the clothes that you're wearing, the money that you have in your pocket, the knowledge that you have in your brain, the health that you have in your body, the book you have in your hands, every single thing is from Allah. Can anyone give you something that Allah didn't have given you? You may get it from some other creation, but who gave it to you to begin with? Who allowed the other creation to give it to you? Allah. It's by His will that He decreed that it will come to you. Had Allah decreed it won't come to you, it will not come to you. Even a breath. So basically, every single bounty that we have, even the tiniest little thing that we may think is not a big deal, is actually from Allah. This is why it is only fair that we do not worship other than Him. Because it wasn't Jesus who gave us all this, and it wasn't Mary who gave us all this, and it wasn't the Son who gave us all this, and it wasn't any other creation who gave us all this. It was Allah. So how do we take everything from Allah and then go dedicate our love and our worship and our devotion to some other creation who also received everything from Allah? This is feeble-mindedness. This is here, vacation. This is not working good. The only possible way you could do that is if your brain is not in its place. Why? Because you are blind. Blind in the heart. You get everything from Allah. And then He told you specifically, don't worship other than Me. You still take everything from Him, and you dedicate everything in your life for someone else. And who's that someone else? Someone who is just like you, who also needs Allah. If it was someone independent, had his own creation, a second God, say tayyib, you know, he has something. But anything that they worship in other than Allah is a creation of Allah, in need of Allah, like you are in need of Allah. That's what Allah told us when He's dealing with that with the Christians about Jesus. And they said that Allah has, you know, Allah is Jesus, Son of Mary. He said, who could prevent Allah if He wanted to destroy Jesus and His mother and the whole world? And this is because of the graveness of this claim. Who could stop Allah if Allah wanted to destroy Jesus? What is Jesus going to do? Tell God, no, I am your son, I have authority, what? I don't know. Who brought Jesus into existence? Allah. So at the end of the day, Jesus, who was he worshipping? Allah. Who did he prostrate to? Allah. Who was he calling the people to? Allah. So you leave all that alone and you make Him Allah. A'udhu billah. Unless you are on vacation, you cannot do that. This is why people do this, because they choose this dunya over the hereafter. That's it. It's clear, Islam is clear, the worship in Islam is clear, the difference between Islam and Christianity is clear. You don't need to have no debates to sit there and get the person and this person and represent. There's no common ground. There is nothing. Nothing. From the names of the religions, we know that Islam is corrupt and Christianity is incorrect. From the name. Islam means submission to the will of God. Christianity is the name after a person. Jesus Christ. What about the people who came before Jesus Christ? Can we call them Christians? There was no Christ yet. Did Jesus say you are Christians? No. Those who didn't believe in Jesus because he wasn't around yet. What do we call them? I don't know. We can call them Muslims because they were submitting to Allah if they were believers. So the name of Islam applies to every human being from the time of Adam until the day of judgment. You are someone who submitted to God. You submitted your will to the will of the divine God. Then the name Islam fits. Christianity is only for a group of people who came after Jesus Christ. But we have a lot of people on earth before Jesus. So, with this said, the debate is over. Everybody goes on. Because now you're calling us to something new. Something that is only relevant to people after a man came. We want something that is for all of the creation. A religion, unified religion in terms of the essence of it, that fits all of the creation, that cannot be named after a person like Buddha, Buddhism, or a Hinduism after in the valley, a river in India, or Christianity after Christ, or Judaism after Judah. Every other religion is affiliated with a name, person, name or person. And it wasn't God revealed these names, rather the people became called. They would call these names after the person left. Say, okay, you like Buddha, you're Buddhists. You like Jesus, you're Christians. God didn't reveal that. But God revealed Islam to all of the prophets and the messengers, or all Muslims. Because the name Islam is not affiliated with a group, a people, or a time, or a person. It is a fact, a submitter. SubhanAllah. Anyways, this is just basic stuff. Then one religion tells you that there are three gods in one. One tells you that there's one God, and he doesn't have any equals. Alatul, you go with this one. Alatul. No need to go and discuss. But why would you? How? Why would I be taking three gods in one? This is complicated. I like things simple, especially when it doesn't make any sense. So in essence, this is what is intended here. Allah is the Lord of everything. So none deserves the worship but Him. Now these verses, I see, we read the Fatiha so many times. Of course, we don't think about all these things. But even when we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is a big deal, man. There's a lot of meanings inside. A lot of meanings. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. This is praising Allah, the only one who deserves to be praised. And it doesn't stop there. Of course, we know from the Hadith Qudsi that Allah answers you. You know the authentic Hadith. That when you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah says Hamidani Abdi. When you say praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the world, Allah replies to you and He says, my servant has praised me. Big deal. Big deal. That's why we shouldn't recite the Fatiha like also we're trying to get some job done just like the tasbih. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rasul. Let's hear some people recite this. No. That's not how the Prophet ﷺ did it. He used to say each verse slowly and pause at the end of the verse because Allah Azza wa Jalla is replying. So he say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, of course with a nicer voice than mine, Maliki Yawm al-Din, like that, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, until you finish the surah, like that. Whether you are alone or behind the imam or on the roof or in the grave, or, no, not in the grave, you cannot do salah in the grave. Wherever you may be, I was trying to give the opposite of the roof so the grave came. If you are downstairs, wherever you are, that's how the Fatiha Allah musta'an. That's how the Fatiha is supposed to be recited. Because you are saying something great and Allah replies to you. So don't just make it any words that run on the mouth where we don't understand what we're saying. جيد. وَتَرْبِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى لِخَلْقِهِ نَوْعَانِ عَامَّةً وَخَاصَّةً. Now when we said that Allah is the caretaker of this creation, that's why we said Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, He says His caretaking of His creation is of two kinds. And we need to understand this. Two kinds. Allah takes care of His creation in two different ways. عَمَّ وَقَصَّ. General and specific. There's a general caretaking and there's specific caretaking. What is intended by that? We will see what the Shaykh said. فَالْعَامَّ هِيَ خَلْقِهِ لِلْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَرِزْقِهِمْ وَهِدَايَتِهِمْ لِمَا فِيهِ مَصَالِحِهِمْ أَلَّتِي فِيهَا بَقَاؤُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. The general caretaking is Him actually creating His creation. Him, Allah Azza wa Jal, creating His creation and sustaining them, rizq, sustenance, and guiding them to that which is beneficial for them. Guiding them to that which is beneficial for them. And what is intended by that is like the ant. Right? You see the ant? Allah Azza wa Jal created the ant, for instance, but did not leave it unattended. Rather, it has been guided to a particular lifestyle that it has plans for the summer and the winter, and it gets the food. And they say that if an ant gets a little like some food, like a vegetable, like some seeds, it bites off the edges. It bites off the edges in order for this thing not to grow. Then she takes it into its hole. Then when it's the winter, she takes it out to dry it. I mean, it has a lifestyle. Even the bees. The bees, they don't work randomly. The ants don't work. They are organized people. People. Organized insects. The ants are organized insects. They have a business. They have some job being done. You see them. You work. They work in groups. Sometimes they come speak to each other and then go away. I used to watch them when I was a kid. You know, you see the ants in the bathtub maybe. You see when we start the water, they start to run for their lives. And I always imagine what kind of things. Ah, the water! Run, run! It's like they come and everybody's freaking out. Then one of them drowns. Anyways, maybe it's just me. You guys were not fun, man. What did you do when you were kids? Never mind. Anyways, but they have an organized way of life. Who guided them to do this? If an ant was just created and it just doesn't know how to eat, doesn't know how to move around, it will just stay in its place. Allah Azza wa Jalla created every creation and then guided it to that which is good for it. الَّذِي خَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. No, I don't remember the verse now. أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. الحمد لله. The one who gave each creation its form, then guided it, meaning guided each creation to that which is suitable for it, including us, the children of Adam. That allows him to remain on earth. This is the general caretaking. General, everything. الخاصة. والخاصة تربيته لأوليائه فيربيهم بالإيمان ويوفقهم له ويكمله لهم ويدفع عنهم الصوارف والعوائق الحائلة بينهم وبينه. The special one is that his caretaking of his friends or his loyal servants, his caretaking of his his loyal servants by caretaking or taking care of their faith, iman, then he guides them to it. He guides them to be believers in him, and he perfects their iman. He completes their iman, and he defends them from things that may turn them away from iman. He protects them from things that may take away their iman. And the things that, the barriers that are between them and him. And the barriers that are between them and him. وَحَقِقَتُهَا تَرْبِيَةُ التَّوْفِيقِ لِكُلِّ خَيْرُ وَالْعِصْمَةُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. He says, and the reality of it is to be given the blessings of doing every good and staying away from every evil. Staying away from every evil. This is the caretaking of the righteous servants of Allah. This is a particular, specific kind of caretaking. وَلَعَلَّ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى هُوَ السِّرُّ فِي كَوْنِ أَكْثَرِ أَدْعِيَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِلَفْظِ الرَّبِّ فَإِنَّ مَطَالِبَهُمْ كُلَّهَا دَخِلَ تَحْتَ رُبُوبِيَتِهِ الْخَاصَةِ. He says, perhaps this is the reason why you will find that very often the supplication of the prophets and the messengers in the Qur'an, they always say, رَبِّ. They call unto Allah by His Lordship. Because he said this is all of their needs and go or fall under the special caretaking of Allah. Right? If you go through the Quran, read the Quran, you will often notice that the Anbiya, when they will supplicate to Allah or ask for something, they begin with Rabbi. Or either just a dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Our Lord, do not deviate our hearts. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina. O Allah, grant us from our children, our wives and our children, the beauty of an eye. If you go through the Quran, you will find that the majority of the dua begins with Rabb, my Lord. And the prophets, when they will ask Allah Azza wa Jal, they will say, Rabbi. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min zuriyati. My Lord, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Lord, make me among those who establish the salah and also for my descendants. What is intended by that? Because they're calling upon Allah through the special caretaking that He has for His righteous servants. That's why they call Him by that, because meaning, take care of me. Oh Allah, take care of me, I need such and such, I want such and such. You understand what I'm saying? This is what the Shaykh saying, that's probably why most of the ad'iyah begin with Rabb. Because it's this special caretaking that Allah Azza wa Jal for this creation. فدل قوله رب العالمين على انفراده بالخلق والتدبير والنعم وكمال غناه وتمام فقر العالمين إليه بكل وجه واعتبار. The statement رب العالمين, the Lord of all that exists or the Lord of the worlds, is an indication that Allah Azza wa Jal is singled out in the creation, in arranging their affairs, in the bounties and in the perfections, in the perfection of His wealth, yani Allah being the most rich, the most self-sufficient. And it's an indication that everyone is poor to Allah. Every creation is in need of Allah, and Allah is in need of no one. Allah is in need of no one, but everyone is in need of Allah. Meaning, as it comes in the Hadith Qudsi, if all of the children of Adam were to unite on the heart, on one heart of the most righteous person in the world, it will not increase the sovereignty of Allah with nothing. If everyone worshipped Allah, Allah will remain self-sufficient. It will not increase His majesty. And if everyone disbelieved in Allah, it will not affect His majesty. You understand? So the reality is, whether we believe or disbelieve, is for our own benefit. As for the status of Allah, it is consistent. It is not affected by the belief of the believers, or the disbelief of the disbelievers. It remains the same. The one who benefit or harms are the believers themselves or the disbelievers themselves. Now, مالك يوم الدين. We will leave that inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Let's do مالك يوم الدين. المالك هو من اتصف بصفة الملك التي من آثارها أنه يأمر وينهي ويثيب ويعاقب أو يأمر وينهى ويتصرف بمماليكه بجميع أنواع التصرفات. Al-Malik, he said, is the one who has the attributes of sovereignty, ownership, that among its traces, among its effects, is that Allah commands and forbids. If you own something, yeah brothers, when you own something, then you have the authority to command and forbid, because it is your property, right? If you lend your friend a car, your car, you have the right to tell him, don't speed, drive carefully, don't put 91 gas, put 95, whatever. Do you or do you not have the right? It's your car. Your car. You don't like it, give me my car. If it was his car, you can't. Don't speed. It's none of your business, man. I like to speed. You cannot really forbid him or command him. You may advise him, but you don't have no authority. Why? You do not own. Because Allah owns everything. Malik, the owner, the sovereign, meaning he has the right to command and forbid, because everything belongs to him. So you're not independent. وَيُثِيبُ وَيُعَاقِبُ, and Allah rewards and punishes. Rewards with goodness and punishes those who commit evil. And he acts or with his property in any shape or form, any way, shape or form that is pleasing to him. وَأَضَافَ الْمُلْكُ لِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَهُوَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ يَوْمَ يُدَانُ النَّاسُ فِيهِ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ خَيْرُهَا أَوْ خَيْرِهَا وَشَرِّهَا. And the reason why it was said that he is the owner of the day of judgment, the owner of the day of judgment particularly, specifically, he says this is the day of the recompense or reckoning. It is the day where the people will be recompensed for their actions. If good, then good, and if evil, then evil. لأن في ذلك اليوم يظهر للخلق تمام الظهور كمال ملكه وعدله وحكمته. Why? Because on that day it will become clear to the creation the perfection of Allah, the perfection of His sovereignty and His justice and His wisdom. Now it is only recognized by who? The believers. Only the believers recognize Allah is the most just, Allah is the most wise, Allah is the true sovereign, right? This is only for the believers. The disbelievers deny that. On the day of judgment, none can deny that. It will become clear to everything and everyone that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most just and the most wise and the owner of everything. This is why it says Malik Yawm al-Din. Because on that day, it doesn't mean that he's only the owner of the day of judgment, he's not owner of the other days. Allah is the owner of everything. The first day and the last day. Right? But what is intended on that day was specified because on that day it would be more clear than ever. His mulk, his sovereignty. Mumtaz. وانقطاع أملاك الخلائق حتى أنه يستوي بذلك اليوم الملوك والرعايا والعبيد والأحرار. He says, and all of the sovereignty or the authority of his creation will be cut off. It will be cut off so much so that on that day, the king and the common person from his country will be the same. And the slaves and the freed people will be the same. No one will be different. Doesn't mean a king nowadays, the president of some country nowadays, who may be living lavish and fancy, he will not come on the day of judgment with a special chair and some bodyguards, or he will come with a special outfit or with his gold watch or something along these lines, say, "Wallah, I was a king in the dunya and I believe I deserve some sort of stuff over here." No way. Rather, he will be just like the guy who was cleaning the streets. They will be equal in appearance, in no clothes, being naked, nothing on, that he doesn't have any authority. Rather, probably the person who was cleaning the trash would be in a much better condition than him, if that person was disobedient to Allah and he was not utilizing the wealth in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, كلهم مذعونون لعظمته خاضعون لعزته. Everybody will be struck in awe to the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal and in submission to His might. منتظرون لمجازاته, awaiting his accounting, taking into account His creation, or awaiting His judgment. راجون ثوابه, hoping in His reward. خائفون من عقابه, afraid of His punishment. فلذلك خصه بالذكر وإلا فهو المالك اليوم الدين ولغير الأيام. This is why that day was specified, otherwise Allah is the owner of the day of judgment and other days as well. So with that we will conclude inshallah بإذن الله عز وجل. If Allah gives us the endurance of life, until next week we will continue from إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, and whatever Allah will allow us to complete. هذا والله تعالى عالم. الحمد لله, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.